you can always count me in on Andrew Cuomo jokes. Trevor Noah went in hard saying, bullying and groping women, a madman office culture and pushing women to wear dresses and heels. I mean, it sounds like Cuomo basically thought himself like a bouncer outside a nightclub, which is convenient for him because that might be his job in a couple months. And practically every day now, there are more and more accusations piling up. It's getting so bad that he's having to bring back his PowerPoint slides just to track his harassment claims. I mean, just in the past couple of weeks, we've heard about him harassing staffers, journalists, wedding guests. It seems like no women in New York were safe from this guy. At some point, we're going to find the Statue of Liberty only holds the torch so she can fend him off. Seth Meyers, first of all, you know you're in a bad spot when even Chuck Schumer calls on you to resign. That dude doesn't do anything hastily. Before he makes any decision, he has to have at least 4 brow furrows and inches glasses down to the tip of his nose. Second, so many Democrats have called on Cuomo to resign at this point, it's easier to ask who hasn't done so. Good news, Governor. The Oswego County Commissioner for Water and Sewer Services is standing by us. Wait, nope, sorry. He said you should resign. Somebody call the Schenectady Parks Department. They'll never turn on us. Trevor, AOC wants Cuomo to resign. Schumer wants him to resign. His brother renamed his CNN show from Cuomo Primetime to It's Just Chris, okay? It's Just Chris. Seth, first of all, can we now agree that the term cancel culture is officially meaningless? He's using the same line as the people who spent the last 3 weeks getting mad about the Muppets, Mr. Potato Head, and Looney Tunes. Trevor, yeah, Andrew Cuomo thinks that holding him to account for his actions is cancel culture, which is obviously making people pretty angry, especially nursing home residents. They're like, damn, you canceled Gladys. Trevor, and if I have to be honest, if this is cancel culture, well, then I have no idea what cancel culture means anymore. I guess it's about letting Dr. Seuss's books be racist, but also not letting politicians get away with sexual harassment. Cancel culture feels a lot like watching WandaVision. Every time I think I get what it's about, the next scene is like, now it's about a purple witch who's only pretend possessed. Catching up, Trevor hosted the Grammys. In his monologue, he said, as you can see, we're outside. We get to enjoy the great Los Angeles air, which I know may be as dangerous as COVID, but we're willing to take the risk. Tonight's going to be the biggest outdoor event this year beside the storming of the Capitol. He joked that the show needed to be speedier than usual, saying, we have to do it quickly because tomorrow this tent is reserved for an outdoor wedding in Malibu and I don't want to lose my security deposit. He explained the nominees were seated at tables in the same area during their categories, noting there was more tension in that tent than at a family reunion at Buckingham Palace. We'll talk about the Royals in a second, but sticking on the Grammys, Bill Burr presented the Best Tropical Latin Album. Because, you know, who should we get to present the Best Tropical Latin Album? How about Bill Burr? Yeah, good choice there. Bill Burr said, the feminists are going nuts. Why is the cis white male doing all this Latino stuff? After walking on stage to piano music, Bill Burr said, was I the only one that wanted to kill himself during that piano solo? I bought a suit for this. I thought I was going to be on TV. I'm such a moron. I'm losing so much money. Burr presented several awards, including Best Latin Rock or Alternative Album, Best Chorale Performance, Best Classical Instrument Solo Performance. Who booked this? Best Classical Vocal Album and Best Classical Compendium. As he presented the Best Regional Mexican Music Award, for which Natalia Lafourcade won, Burr mispronounced the singer's name, I probably just did too, and apologized, saying, I can't say the name, the Grammy goes to Natalia Lafourcade, I'll accept on behalf of her if I butchered her name, I'm sorry Natalia, you won. Following his appearance, critics of his joke took to social media, causing Bill Burr to trend on Twitter. The Best Comedy Album, I'll review the nominees for you, were I Love Everything by Patton Oswalt, The Pale Tours by Jim Gaffigan, Paper Tiger by Bill Burr, 23 Hours to Kill by Jerry Seinfeld, and the winner was Black Mitzvah by Tiffany Haddish. I will continue to get on my soapbox about this one. I believe that the Best Comedy Album should be available to civilians as a purchase as the Best Comedy Album. Here, I challenge you, go buy Black Mitzvah by Tiffany Haddish right now. And I'm not singling her out. Same thing with 23 Hours to Kill by Jerry Seinfeld. These are not albums. These are Netflix specials. Go try to buy Black Mitzvah by Tiffany Haddish right now. Go try to listen to it on Apple Music. It's not there. It's not a comedy album. It's a Netflix special. I'm sure they released it on vinyl in like 4 stores to make it qualify. I'm sure it's, if I look hard enough, I'll find it on 8-track tape in a cool basement shop in Seattle, and I can buy it. But come on. Let's make comedy albums be comedy albums. From Yahoo, is there tension between Tiffany Haddish and Nicki Minaj? Oh my. Fans think so after a video surfaced of Haddish seemingly throwing rocks at the Queen's throne. Both Nicki Minaj and Tiffany Haddish are two powerful women at the top of their respective crafts. As a result, a fan in Clubhouse compared Haddish to Nicki. This prompted another person to joke, saying that unlike Minaj, Haddish comes to appearances on time. The comedian took this baton and ran with it. Tiffany said, and unlike Nikki, I treat everybody with respect and dignity. Whoa. It is unclear why Nicki Minaj and Tiffany Haddish would have an issue with each other. Yahoo says there could be built up tension that dates back to the 2018 VMAs. I've told you in the past, MTV should not be allowed to have video awards because they give awards to people like Adam Sandler. While presenting an award to Nicki Minaj, Tiffany Haddish made a joke about Fifth Harmony. This didn't sit well with Nicki, moving her to tell Haddish to lay off the girls. Nicki said, don't be coming for Fifth Harmony because Normani's that bitch. I read it, but I have no idea what any of that means. John Oliver was on Jimmy Fallon, and he spoke about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's appearance with Oprah. John said, I didn't find any of it surprising. It's kind of what I felt. Sadly, her experience was going to be going in. He said he drew the conclusion from simply observing the royal family from a distance when he was growing up, and they seem like flawed people. That's literally the kindest way I could possibly put it. The only thing that shocked me was that Oprah the next day saying Harry wants to make it clear it wasn't Prince Philip being racist, which made me think, really? Okay, that's actually surprising. Asked if the family will evolve as a result of the interview, Oliver said the whole selling point of the family is that it doesn't change. He added that that selling point has become a liability because as years go by, you realize that not changing is not entirely a good thing because that means times might be changing around you and you are refusing to evolve. Oliver joked, the only person I think who's been really happy about this has been Prince Andrew. I'm guessing that he's been nudging the royal family. Can you believe what Meghan did? Can you believe it? Dragging this family's name into disrepute and shaming us? She ruined our reputation. She has, right, guys? If you enjoy all that royal family stuff, I'll remind you to check out Palace Intrigue. That's the podcast about the royal family that I'm the writer on. We've had a pretty good week. 5 minutes a day about the royal family. It's called Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. It's St. Patrick's Day, isn't it? Remember that one as a thing? Like, you know, crowded bar? Hey, let's hang out in a crowded bar and have, I don't know, 7 beers? Let's do that. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by the Highbrow Drivel Podcast. Now, I got a note from host Anthony Jeannot, and he wrote, FYI, of all the episodes I've done, the latest episode on dinosaurs is, I think, probably the funniest. So host Anthony Jeannot, he's making a statement there. This is the funniest episode of Highbrow Drivel. You got to check it out. The guest, Ahir Shah, he's been twice nominated for Best Show at Edinburgh Fringe, so that's pretty cool. This week, Ahir Shah and Dr. Emma Dunn talk all things dinosaurs. I'm in. They cover whether birds carry around the regret of no longer being a dinosaur. Imagine that. Imagine the birds are walking around. They're like, fudge, we really blew this thing here. Whether you can judge a person based on their favorite dinosaur, I'm going to say, yeah. But I don't know what my favorite dinosaur is. I just want to say T-Rex because that what comes to mind. But maybe you're going to judge me that be like, he's not creative at all. He just said T-Rex. He's not even trying here. Can I say Velociraptor? I'm switching to Velociraptor. Is Velociraptor even real or did Jurassic Park make that up? They also talked about what it's like to work in a job where the most knowledgeable experts have an average age of around 6 years old, why we should still care about paleontology, what we're discovering from dinosaurs that applies to the world today, whether Jurassic Park is an allegory which saved us from having billionaires accidentally unleash dinosaurs on us all. Wait, what? Jurassic Park is an allegory which saved us from having billionaires accidentally unleash dinosaurs on all of us? I got to talk to Elon about that. And why Leonardo DiCaprio is an arsehole. I'm intrigued by that last point, too, because I haven't pondered if Leo is cool or not, but apparently he's not. Ahir Shah is a multiple nominee for Best Show at Edinburgh Comedy Festival and has been seen on Have I Got News For You, Live at the Apollo, and The MASH Report, which I saw was canceled this week. That's not a dig at Mr. Shah. Just factually, I saw The MASH Report's coming to an end. I was sorry to hear that. And the expert guest is Dr. Emma Dunn, a paleobiologist at the University of Birmingham, whose work is focused on how past environmental changes influence the biodiversity of fossil vertebrates. She's also the host of the Paleo Party podcast. I got to check that out. So this podcast is called Highbrow Drivel, hilarious takes from serious experts. Each week, host Anthony Jeannot is joined by a new stand-up comedian and a new expert to discuss their field of expertise. I'd love to know how he books this thing. Like, the comedian I get, but then you're like, hello, professor. Yeah, we're going to do an episode about dinosaurs, and there's going to be a comedian there. Would you like to come on? They talk about the big topics, the brain space, climate science, psychedelics, billionaires, dinosaurs, and all the areas you're most likely to end up when you're drunk at the end of a party, just trying to figure it all out. In most years, that would be me on St. Patrick's Day, but, you know, stupid COVID. It's a light, funny, and easily accessible way to hear the latest from some serious, mind-blowing experts. Again, it's called Highbrow Drivel. They sponsor the show. Thank you for the support, Anthony Jeannot. You guys should check it out. Highbrow Drivel, wherever you get your shows. I had to run upstairs during the commercial break there to get my phone because I have to tell you about the voting in this week's Comedy's Top Dog. This week, three-time defending champion John Mulaney is taking on Dave Chappelle. Let's go to the Instagram page at Daily Com News and see what people are saying. Tatiana Morales is tired, said John Mulaney. All right, 1-0 John Mulaney. But 1997 Titan 74 said Dave Chappelle. We have a tie. Mushashi says John Mulaney. New voter there. Welcome to the voting. All right, 2-1 Mulaney. Jerry McLean, dude, just finished watching the Chappelle Show after many years, and without a question, it's Dave. This should be a landslide. Chappelle Show is so good, is it not, Jerry? All right, that's 2-2. 5 Yodi Ugly, the comeback kid versus the comeback king, Chappelle. 3-2 Chappelle. Lanes Perkis, Chappelle. All right, it's 4-2 Chappelle. You know you want to get in on this hot voting action. You're going to go to Instagram. It's at Daily Comedy News. Scroll down my page till you see the picture of Mulaney and Chappelle under a Top Dog logo, and you vote. Can you hear my voice is a little thin today, and I'm totally off my game. You have no idea how many edits there are in today's podcast. So I got a hot coffee this morning. You know I'm not feeling great when I get a hot coffee. I had to chill at like 4 in the morning. I'm not like sick, but I'm a little off. So this is a hot coffee with caramel, not my usual iced. If you like what I do and you'd like to support the show, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews, and you can click on, say, the $5 button and make a donation to the show, and I will buy a coffee. How did I let you know I actually have one? Can you hear that if I shake it? I don't want to get coffee all over the microphone. It's a lot easier when you have ice in it. Anyway, buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews if you like what I do here. And from the AV Club, Gritty, everyone's favorite shaggy-haired, googly-eyed freak, has posed nude. This is the mascot of the Philadelphia Flyers of the National Hockey League. Gritty posed for his daring painting during a Flyers game against the Boston Bruins, bearing all as the opposing team had to figure out how to maintain their concentration knowing a big orange sexual dynamo was lounging provocatively on a nearby couch. Imagine you're playing hockey, like somebody's skating at you at like 60 miles an hour, going to check into the boards, and out of the corner of your eye, you see like a big orange mascot, which normally wouldn't catch your eye, except he's naked. Today. This is pretty funny. Virginia artist Benjamin Davis was given the task of capturing Gritty's deranged stare and curves. Naturally enough, Davis says he kind of spaced out a little bit while working, overwhelmed by Gritty's gaze, his body, his essence, really. Gritty's willingness to publicly disrobe in a vain attempt to distract the Bruins just so his dear Flyers could win a game tells us even more about his character. It clearly demonstrates that he's also one of the most committed mascots we've ever seen. I'll throw the link in the show notes. You guys deserve to see this picture. I'm looking at it now. It's Gritty on a leather couch, not wearing any clothes. The painting is pretty funny. Well, he is wearing clothes. He's wearing shoes and some sort of head garb, but his middle orange section not covered. And bad news for the Flyers. They lost 4-3 in overtime. Sorry, Gritty. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and I'll see you tomorrow.